Grocery store workers across the country are stepping up their fight for hazard pay nearly a year now into the pandemic. Los Angeles County today announced it will provide an extra $5 an hour to grocery store workers, and other cities like Seattle and Long Beach, California have already passed similar measures. Some grocery store chains are pushing back by raising prices, cutting hours, or closing stores entirely. Let's bring in Robin Farzad. He's host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Robin, hi.
Good day, sir.
Good day to you. And we remember back in the spring that many grocery stores did have hazard pay for a few months, but now workers are saying they need it again because the pandemic is still going on. It sounds like some places are starting to listen. So how will these mandates help them?
Well, of course, the pay. For starters, $4 to $5 more per hour when you're talking about $11 to $12 an hour job. That's no small deal. And this on top of paid sick leave for quarantining and essentially overtime pay for coworkers who have to step up when others are out sick. So it would be a lot harder to lose your job if you have a fluidity of overtime and you don't fear retaliation for, say, seeing a doctor or taking a day or two off.
What's notable about many of these mandates is that they apply mostly, it sounds like, to stores that devote about 70% of their business to selling food. So that actually leaves out a fair amount of people, doesn't it?
Yeah, Walmart in particular stands out here. Though it's the king of all things brick-and-mortar retail, in many localities it is number one or number two when it comes to grocery. And it has bakeries, delis, and other very front-facing grocery functions. Walmart's food sales have been pressuring supermarkets, we know, for the longest time. And you're going to hear howls of protest that it's going to be especially painful for the likes of Kroger or Albertsons to have to jack prices or shutter stores or reduce hours when Walmart is exempt.
Yeah. Well, fair enough, because grocery store chains here are saying, to hear their side of the story, that they can't afford to provide hazard pay. And so as a result, some have raised prices, some have closed stores because of this. Do they have a point? I mean, what is their financial situation right now?
This is and always has been a business of tiny profit margins. It's historically banked on high turnover, lower paid workers. And while sales for supermarkets have been great during the pandemic, cleaning and PPP-related expenses, they've hit the bottom line. And ditto the fact that you can't count on salad bars and buffets and high-margin services. And Amazon Whole Foods is hitting you with delivery. So overall, Peter, I think this is going to push out the rollout of self-checkout and more inducing people to shop from home, as kind of grocery stores say, we can't sustainably pay these people $15 an hour.
So pay is one issue. Vaccines, Robin, as you know, are another. I spoke a few weeks ago to a guy named Sam Dancy. He works at a grocery store in Seattle. He told me that he was still waiting for his shot. Let's listen.
Well, we're on the front line. You know, at one time we were considered heroes. I guess we're now zeros.
So, Robin, how many states have prioritized vaccines now for grocery store workers? Do we have any information about that?
Yeah, in D.C., for example, grocery workers are prioritized and eligible. There's much exasperation in Connecticut, where that's not the priority. As of a week ago, Peter, only 13 states are currently allowing grocery workers to sign up for vaccines. And most of the more than 2.5 million low-wage grocery workers in the U.S. have not yet been made eligible for the vaccine. So like with so much else in the response to COVID, frustratingly, it is such a patchwork.
Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure, thank you so much.